Black Country Radio.
I guess when people talk about retiring and people think about that moment where they leave a career they might have been in for decades in some cases, money is something that really comes to the forefront for a lot of people, and working out how after that sort of regularity of income and that continual wage they're going to be able to support themselves. Obviously state pensions come into it, but I guess a lot of people are trying to think around that and trying to think of ways they can support themselves better. Why do you think that's sort of their default response? Why does money become such a big problem when people think about leaving the workplace and going on to retirement?
Yeah, so I mean the key issue is can they afford to have the retirement that they want? I think a lot of people go through life almost imagining what sort of retirement they want, and ultimately, you know, that costs money. Now, for different people, they will have different aspirations in terms of what they want to do in retirement. Clearly, the state pension only gives a very, very basic level of income. So if you want to do any more than the basic, then you've got to save. And of course, the research that we've done here at Wealth at Work shows that the 83% of people are currently saying the cost of living crisis means that they believe they will have to work longer. And of course, that's really because they you know, people do aspire, generally speaking, to have a reasonable level of income when they eventually retire.
And I guess it's a bit of an unfortunate mix of things as well, isn't it? Because the cost of living crisis has certainly affected people, but I think there's a lot of younger people, certainly sort of friends and family that I'm seeing, that when the option came in to say that you were opted in through your employer to pension contributions, a lot of them sort of thought, I guess, in the short term and said, you know what, I don't want that now. I want that money to spend right away, without necessarily thinking about the long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, the opt-out rates from auto-enrolment were actually very low. But I think the issue that we've got now is that because there's more financial pressure on people, people are starting to consider that. So again, the research we did, 59% of people say that they are considering either reducing or stopping their pension contributions altogether. So you can see that financial pressure is beginning to have an impact. And of course, we know just around the corner with the interest rates going up, people will be getting their mortgage rates will be going up. So when their current fixed rate deals come to a close, they're going to be paying more for their mortgage. And general inflation, you know, we don't think is, whilst it is coming down, it's not coming down as quickly as many experts originally thought that it would. So you can see that there is this financial pressure that's going to continue for a while yet.
If people are thinking about reducing or stopping their contributions, like you said, be that through the cost of living crisis or for other reasons, is that a good idea, or is it something that, you know, as much as they can, they should try and plough on through and put as much money into saving for retirement as possible?
Yeah, I mean, the key issue with it is that clearly if they stop paying in or even reduce their payments, then that means that their pension pot isn't going to grow as much as it otherwise would. But the key thing to remember is it's not just their contribution either. It's the matched contribution from the employer. It's the tax relief you get on that contribution as well. So if you like, for every pound that they reduce as a contribution, they're actually losing a lot more than a pound. So I think it does need careful consideration. I think also they should look at other things where they might be able to save money in the short term. One of the things that we look at with people is looking at where their monthly income goes. And if you look at some of the slightly bigger ticket items that most people incur, so things like broadband bills, mobile bills, insurances, so car insurance, household insurance, often a lot of these things are done on auto renewal, and people don't get the best deals that are out there. So we've certainly gone through cases where people could save hundreds and hundreds of pounds a year on those types of services. So you're not telling someone to give something up. You're just saying just buy better. Then, of course, if they save those hundreds and hundreds of pounds, then maybe they don't need to reduce their pension contribution, certainly by as much.
Yeah, if I'm honest, I think I'm probably as guilty as anybody of doing that, of, you know, coming to the end of a mobile contract and not really looking at what my options are, because it's easy just to carry on sometimes. But you are right, the amount of money that you can save by just a bit of careful switching, and it might seem like a small amount for each individual thing, but that very quickly mounts up, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing, is that if you look at it over a period of, say, a year, it can be quite a bit of money. I mean, subscriptions is another thing that we see. So people, yeah, over time, people will subscribe to various services, download services, etc. And yet, they forget that money's going out of their account, and it's only when you know, you kind of almost force them to sit down and look at a bank statement going, look, have you seen all this stuff? Do you really need to be spending that money? So often, you know, there'll be subscription services that either they don't use or effectively they've doubled up on, and it's like, well, you know, fundamentally you only need one of these, you don't need two or more. So yeah, it's just being a bit more astute, I think, with you know, where is that money going. Even through employers as well, you know, a lot of employers offer benefits, one of which is discount vouchers off of the high street. So, you know, getting things like 5% off your weekly shop all goes to help.
What about people? I wasn't aware that you could do this, but what about people who are considering sort of dipping into their pension pot to take a little bit of money out to supplement something else? Does that make a huge difference? Because it seems, again, like, you know, a little bit here and there shouldn't make a massive dent in the finances. But I guess over a period of time, once again, that's something that mounts up quite quickly.
Yeah, so people can withdraw from their pension once they reach the age of 55. So we're only really talking about the older people here. But again, the research showed that 31% of people that were 55 and over but still in work, that 31% of them were considering withdrawing pension early to supplement their income. So in other words, there's a cohort of people there that are still in work, but because they happen to be age over 55, they're accessing their pension effectively to supplement the existing income. So the issue you've got there, of course, is if they're accessing their pension early, then that means that pot's starting to go down. But of course, when they eventually decide they do want to retire, you know, they've then got to replace not only the income that they're earning through their job, but also they've got to try and make sure that they can make up some of the difference because of what they've been drawing out of their pension early. And I think this is one of the reasons why there is such a large number of people that say, well, look, I might just have to carry on working longer in order that I can maintain a certain standard of living.
Oh, do you want to unmute there? And I guess, Jonathan, just finally, we think, you know, we think about financial advice when we think about mortgages and loans and things like that. But I suppose a quantity of people maybe don't consider it when you're thinking about pensions, because you assume it's something that when you get to a certain age, you retire, leave work, and then you sort of take whatever money's there. But you're very much encouraging people to talk to professionals about their finances and see this as another avenue of just getting that bit of advice beforehand so that you're set up and ready to go when you do choose to retire.
Yeah, because a lot of people will have more than one pension. You know, apparently the average person has 11 jobs during their working life. So, you know, theoretically, you might have 11 pensions that have gone alongside those jobs. And you might also have other savings, you know, ISAs or whatever else it might be. So it's really important that all of that stuff is pulled together and you know actually what's in your pot. You also understand what you're going to be getting from the state as well. So you can get a very clear picture of the sort of income that you may be able to generate in retirement. Now, people can do that themselves, but often they just find it quite hard, quite complex. So I would urge people to, in the first instance, talk to their employer because they may be able to help. But yeah, regulated financial advice, I think, is becoming increasingly important as people get to the point of retirement.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thanks for that, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Okay, cheers. Thank you.
No worries. You have a good day, sir.
You too. Cheers.
See you in a bit.